If you have your Bibles, quickly, let's continue our teaching, learning from Moses. We began to speak about that last week, and we're going to be on it for some time. The place we are reading from is the book of Hebrews chapter 11. That's where we are taking as our main text to learn from Moses. And that's because that's where the summary of the important things, of the most important things about the life of Moses, that's where they are written. We'll take a lot of text from there, but we'll also take a few from the book of Exodus and wherever we find reference to Moses, like we found last time from the book of Jeremiah in chapter 15. But the main thing we are going to be learning is from the book of Hebrews chapter 11. So let's read that text. I quickly summarize the thing we said last time, and then we'll take the lessons from the life of Moses for today. It's number 23 of Hebrews chapter 11. But before I go down to 23, I'd like to read a few from 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, that Hebrews chapter 11. For by it, the men of old, including Moses, gained approval. Now, talking about this Moses, go to verse 23 now. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden, that is, his parents, it was the faith of the parents, was hidden for 3 months, by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he began to make his own decisions, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering, verse 26, the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. The Bible says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled by 7 days. And by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Now let's stop there, reading about the life of Moses. Last week, the last time that we began to speak about this, we made the number of points. Then there were 3 of them that were crucial. I said, I explained what it means to say a child is beautiful. That being beautiful is nothing, it has nothing to do with whether you are able to win a beauty contest or not. That's not what beauty is. Beauty, we read last time, has to do with what? Purpose. Beauty has to do with a knowledge, the understanding, or how fitted somebody is for his or her purpose in life. So I'm fearfully and wonderfully made means that God made me for a particular purpose, and I'm perfectly suited for the purpose that God created me for. Like I say about myself, I have never wished I was a white man. I mean, why should I be white? I love my complexion. My friends call me black, and it's a very nice name. You follow what I'm saying? I was fearfully and wonderfully made. There are things I teach. There are doctrines I teach which a white man dare not preach. If he did, the black men would lynch him. Are you getting my point? Yeah, that's a matter of fact. Because when I say some things about the black race, I have to be black to be able to say them. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I was made for a particular purpose. And, you know, God arranged my inward parts to be able to fulfill that purpose. So that's what beautiful means. That's what beauty is. When you hear that the child was a beautiful child, they saw that the child was beautiful. What it means, of course, you know every child is beautiful to the parents. So that's not the point they were making there. The point is that they had an understanding that this boy was going to fulfill a special purpose. They knew that he couldn't die like every other child that was born at that particular point in time. So they did things, all right, to preserve his life. Now, I said, therefore, that if you understand that you have a specific purpose, if you know you were created for a reason, it's not everything you will take, it's not everything you will allow to happen to you. I told you then that that's when Nigeria was tough. I mean, people say Nigeria is tough, and I said, well, maybe, but the days of SARP, I was there. I was a teenager. I graduated from school around that time. I began to work, and I knew how tight things were that time. And for that reason, that was the days of brain drain. Everybody wanted to get out of the country. The pressure is not so much anymore. It's easier now to get a visa to America or to the UK. They know you don't want to run away. Most people, they will go and they will come back. Then you get out, you ain't coming back. You understand what I'm saying? But I said then, there's things that were given to Nigerians and the embassies. I couldn't take them. I had understood one particular scripture, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12, that says, "Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream." I knew I was a beautiful child. I hope you're going to explain. That is, it's not about whether you look at yourself in the mirror and see your nose is perfectly aligned. That's not what we mean. What we mean is that there's a purpose for your life. And listen, purpose is tied to geography. I hope you understand that. You know, once I was traveling, my friend said, "Are you going to come back?" I looked at him, "For what?" I said, "You know me. You don't have ministry to do." He said, "Ah, there's ministry in America too." I bet this guy must be a joker. Listen, if your ministry is in Nigeria, it can never be in America. I hope you get my point. Yes, if it's in Nigeria, it's in Nigeria. If your ministry is supposed to be in America, it's not in Nigeria. If your ministry is supposed to be in Bolivia, you better go to Bolivia. You follow my point? Uh-huh. So it's not that if you just feel like preaching is preaching, I can preach anyway. It's not true. It's not true. Every preaching has a target. It's supposed to arise from somewhere. You follow what I'm saying? It's supposed to arise from somewhere. It's not everywhere. Listen, there are statements. I was thinking about my life a few days ago, and I realized some things as if I was having a chat, imagining in my mind, okay, with the Lord. And I just realized that there are things I can't say if some things had happened the way I would have wished for them to happen. That's a matter of fact. There are statements you can't make. You know, there are sometimes when you see Nigerians writing from abroad and talking about some things in the country, people will laugh at them because you are not seated in the seats of the Boko Haram bombs. So it is easy for you to be passing comments. That's a matter of fact. Are you getting my point? So that just by the way, and let me not sit on that. So I said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Being a beautiful child has to do with purpose. The parents understood that this child has a purpose. If you understand your life has a purpose, it's not everything you will take. As we go on, we're going to see it. It's not every visa opportunity you go for. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. The person I like to give as an example all the time, all of you know him very well, my friend Pastor Corey from Sokoto, he carries a British passport. Many of you can't believe that. He and all his children, all their passports are British. People think that it's just, you know, are you getting my point? I like having friends like that, so that when you talk, they think it's not, those days people used to, I remember I was talking to my friends when we were in university, when we were in Lute those days, postgraduates, and we're resident doctors. And I was just preaching the kind of things you've heard me preach severally. And one of them said, "That's what they always say when they don't have a visa yet." I was insulted. No, there are things you say, it insults me. Okay, so I don't even like to argue. I argue with people like my friend Courage, born in the UK. All he and all his children carry British passports. Yet he's a pastor of a church he founded in Sokoto. You can't tell me it is because he doesn't have where he can run to. When he wants to travel, where does he travel to? Uganda. Did you hear what I said? Yeah. What did I say? Listen, when he goes to Uganda, he goes there to spend money. He said something to me that time. He said, listen, that the Ugandans look at Nigerians like Nigerians look at Americans. When he goes there, he organizes meetings. We pay for those meetings, you know, brethren, I mean now, from Nigeria. When he goes, he pays his own, you understand, from here. He takes enough money, buys his own flight ticket, accommodates himself, pay for you know, printing and everything. That's what it means to be a beautiful child. You get my point? Your life has a purpose. So people think that, you know, those days when we were talking, some people thought that it's because, for what? When I first came to Enugu, a friend of mine sat me down, explained how I could get an opportunity to go for a training for 3 months in the United States. I said, 3 months? Kingdom World cannot survive without me for 3 months. We're just starting. I said, sorry, 3 months? No. Left the idea. I'm going to explain something. Life has a purpose. In fact, that's the main thing I'm going to talk about today. So we said that last time. That's what it means to be a beautiful child. The parents had the revelation. They had an understanding that this boy was born for a special purpose. So they did everything to preserve his life. If you know your life is special, and listen, that's a matter of fact. It's not every nonsense you take. Anyway, we'll talk more about that as we go on. So these are the things we said last time. And we also explained that, listen, this is how life is. When he was young, his parents directed his life. They made his decisions. The Bible says that the parents, I explained this last time, that they arranged for him to get to the house of Pharaoh. He didn't get there by chance. It was a plan. Believe me, it was. So he went to the house of Pharaoh according to the desires and the plan of his parents. Especially his mother, we know, and his sister. But when he grew up, and that's how life is, you are what you are, first of all, because of how you are molded by where you came from, the society around you, the home you grew up in. But we said last time, listen, that shouldn't be an excuse for a long time. Because the time comes when you are supposed to grow up. God doesn't judge you until you have grown up. You understand my point? When he was going to kill those children of Israel, when he was going to judge them, he said everyone from 20 years and above, those ones below that, he assumed that they were just speaking according to what everybody was saying. And we said when Jesus pardoned that woman that was caught in the act of adultery, he wasn't showing her mercy as much as he was showing her understanding. That's why he said, any one of you that have never committed adultery, throw the first stone. And none of them. So he said, you see, this girl is a reflection of what the society is. Leave her alone. And I said to her, now you are growing up. Go and sin no more. And I said, everybody will have an encounter with his or her Jesus Christ. That is the day that he will look at you and say, now I'm not condemning you. I understand why you are like this. But from now on, every action you take, everything you do, I will hold you personally responsible. Why? You have met me today. I have forgiven you of your sins. I have given you another opportunity. Those are the things we said last time. So we are continuing from there today. All right? Taking these lessons from the life of Moses. Now, where I want to read today, okay? Just a number of verses. That is where I want to teach on. It says that from verse 24, I want to teach on 25 and 26. But I want to read from verse 24. It said, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather, that's what we're talking about today, to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Now, that's what I want to talk about. Now, let's understand something. Your life is directed. Let me just say this. I think it would be a nice way to start explaining this. Let me say it again. I've said it several times. Life is in parts, like I wrote in that track, predestination. It's not at the point, really, that things are happening that you actually make the decisions to make them happen. I'm trying to explain these things. Just try and follow me. That is, life carries people. Now, follow what I'm saying. It carries you. I said to you before that Daniel and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the time they were told to bow or refuse to pray and all of that, and they refused, that was not actually the time they refused. I don't know whether you follow what I'm saying. They refused when they stepped into Babylon. At that point, at critical test points, is the decisions you made before in life, all right, that decides the decision you make then. I don't know whether you follow my point. A lot of us are afraid. You know, I said this before. When I said Jezebel, it's not Jezebel, what's the name of the other woman? Delilah. Delilah will come into the life of every man and every woman. Delilah is a spirit, and Samson is a spirit. What I mean is that it's a spiritual principle. And Delilah is a spirit. It's still there. Delilah is a person that comes. It's a test you will face in life that decides whether you will go down or you will grow up. That's Delilah. And so people have asked me, for how will I know my Delilah? I says, unimportant. Why Samson? You know, sometimes we say, why did he tell her? Why did he tell her? Samson did not have the strength to withstand Delilah at that particular point in time. That's what you must understand. God gives everybody a dose of strength. Now, that initial dose is a seed. How do you invest it is the matter. Is the thing that matters. A lot of young people don't understand how to invest that strength. You should use your strength. He said, labor to enter into his rest. You should exercise yourself, expend your strength, all right, on trying to build more strength. Do you get my point? Exercise your strength to get more strength into your system. Samson did not do that. He had a natural strength. Now, I'm not talking about natural muscle and the anointing upon him. I mean the strength to withstand. the strength to make the correct choices in life. What was he doing? He was wasting it. There he saw a woman. There he saw a woman. Like I said, listen. God doesn't fight you over small, small iniquities, though. The small, small iniquities, they cripple your ability to handle the big and single major one that will kill you. What happened to Samson? He cut his hair. Who doesn't cut their hair? Even women cut their hair, at least these days. And God doesn't kill anybody for that. But for Samson, it was a major test. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. So you see that the decision to reveal his secret to Delilah was not made at that particular point. It was a culmination of all the small, small decisions he had made before. So Daniel, or more like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, could not have bowed to that idol. They were not bowing before. They don't have a culture of bowing. You are getting my point? They were not bowing before. So it's not that they are going to start learning how to bow now because you are putting threats, all right? Putting a threat to their lives. They're not used to bowing. And the Spirit of Christ, all right, will enter into them and make sure they don't bow because they made the right decisions to add more strength to their strength when there was no pressure that was that serious. What am I going to explain? That's how life is. People think that, there's a story that my wife and I were discussing again in the house the other day, and because we watched another story in which a young man was told, just tell small, small lie, we'll give you the job. And he refused. And the ogas gave him the job. And we had heard the story of one girl that the manager, the big boss, was looking for a very honest accountant. So after the girl was shown to have qualified for everything, he now said, well, you know, this is life. You have to understand. You have to say to me if you want this job. And the girl saw everything that was going to open up. That is, the wealth that will come, the financial doors that will open. The fact that now she was going to be made. She said, God will understand. Just this once, you know, that kind of thing. And then the man said, too bad. When she agreed, the man said, too bad. I was looking for somebody that was honest. You're supposed to be a Christian. You have proved to me that your conviction is not deep. You are getting my point. And then the story is that, she felt very bad. She was crossing the road. The car knocked her down. A long story. But this is the point. So the discussion was, why did she, if she only she had known. And that's how we think in life. And that's what I'm going to explain. Listen, those are not the times that those decisions are made. They were made before then. Those things only exposed the decisions that are inside the soul. Are you getting my point? That is, it is not just once that Jesus was tempted. Three temptations. All his life. You know, Son of God, don't touch him. Son of God, you know, Son of God. But now he's about to enter into ministry. Let's now tempt him. Temptation number one. Bang! Go. You know, wrestling. Turn these stones to bread. I know, go turn. You know, that kind of thing. It is written. Good. Round one, gone. Favor of Jesus Christ. Round two, come. Throw yourself down. For it is written. No. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Good. Round two. Oh, then round three. Come. Look at all of this. I'll worship me and all of that. I'll give them to you. After the battle was over, three rounds. He won. Everybody rejoiced. That was not what happened, though. Let me summarize it for you again. Those three temptations were the summary, all right? They considered the summary of all the temptations he faced all his life. You follow my point? The strength not to turn stones to bread was built up in the times in which there was no intense hunger. The strength to withstand the temptation so as not to tempt the Lord his God was built up when there was not much to gain from it. I'm going to bring out a principle here. So that's how life is. Little choices, little things here and there. You get into a point, life starts carrying you. Especially when you become an older man and you've been a Christian for a long time. You have become an older woman. At that time, it's extremely difficult to vary the course of your life. Extremely difficult. That's why you don't see serious churches where they are teaching the word of God that you find many old people. You only find old people where they are sharing out miracles. Go out tomorrow and go and investigate. It's a spiritual principle. The young people are being called to set this course for for their lives. That's all. No, go to those who are donating miracles. Most people, they are not young. They are not young. They are not small, small children. When you go to people who are supposed to sit down like this and learn and be taking notes and rearranging their, you know, their mentality. There are not many. I'm not saying there are no old people there because God knows how he's judging each person. Some people, this is just their first encounter. Because you get to a point, life is just carrying you. It's not you anymore. Please, I'm going to somewhere in all things I'm saying. So you see, amongst the things that carry you in life, that's what I wanted to get to. Alright? What decides, it's not just, will I fall for this temptation or I won't fall for it. Take an example, Nigeria of today, we need real Christians in public offices. If you believe that, same. Real ones. I don't mean those who go to church. A lot of Christians, they go to church, they only tithe from stolen government money. And the pastor can't talk because the fellow tithes very well. And if a man steals pension fund, 5 billion naira, and he tithes 500 million, the church will be very rich. One day, pastor, big pastor in town here, so my wife went, you know, they had the man's wife actually. They were talking, was asking my wife, when she discovered that my wife is a pastor's wife too, you know, they were just chatting. She was telling my wife about some of the evil things that the deacons in the church do. So my wife said, why don't you just sack them from being deacon? Is that not the smart thing to do? The woman said, no, they are the pillars of the church. Pillar of the church is an adulterer. That's just by the way. So you see, we need serious Christians. Now bring up something now. People now say that if I enter political office, I'm not going to chop money. The fact that you go to church is not what guarantees that you will not. I'm going somewhere. What guarantees whether you will or not is your value system. If your aim in life is I must build a house, you will steal money. Now listen to me. I'm not saying you love to steal. One of the things that directs, you know, remember I said life just carries you. Your value system. That's what decides what you will do under pressure. Do you follow what I'm saying? What did I call it? What did I call it? What do I mean by value system? It's simple. You know, I wrote an article some time ago, how to count your possessions. I don't know how many of you read it. How to count your possessions. The Lord Jesus made a statement categorically. He said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. So if you have not built a house, it does not mean you are poor. That's all it means. You don't have a very fine car, does not mean you are poor. Listen to me. Christianity is to believe that. Let me say this to you. One of the problems we have in today's teachings in Christianity is that we have a very wrong value system. That's why, listen to me, that's why people give to get. That is why the object of the teaching is still materialism. But since I cannot steal, you know, there are different ways to get money. There's hard work to get money. You can work hard, wake up by 4 a.m. and come back to that bed at 11 and wake up for 1 hour between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. That is hard work. You won't live long, but you'll get a lot of money. That's one way. There's some easy ways. No, not easy now. Sleep now, relax. Then when some people are finished making the money, carry a gun, shoot them, collect the money. I watched a film many years ago. So one guy asked the other one, why are you not out there working? The guy said, what's the point? You, when you finish the working, you will earn the money, you will come to the gambling joint at night, and I'll win the money from you. It was an American Western movie. So the guy said there was no point. The guy, during the day, young guy, he'll just relax. Just be enjoying himself. So all these boys who have gone to work, they will soon come back at night. Then we'll start gambling. And I know how to win it from them. So people say, why gamble? Why take a risk? You know, just shoot somebody. Kidnap somebody. Now, Christians can't do that. You understand what I'm saying? So they say, what do? We sow a seed. Now, I'm going to say, Pastor, it's wrong to sow a seed. It is very wrong to sow a seed for such things. Yes, it is very wrong. Let me say categorically. Now, this is the problem with it. The aim is still the same thing. One man steals to get his own. One man works hard to get his own. The other one sows a seed to get his own. But they are still chasing the same thing. Listen to me. All three of them will steal, depending on the kind of temptation that is given to them. Are you getting my point? Why? Value system. Because all of them are agreed on one particular point. You are dead without money. All of them are agreed on one particular point. If you have not built a house by the age of 40, you are a failure. All of them are agreed on the same point. The only way to get respect when you go to your prospective father-in-law's house to come in a nice car, they are all agree on the same point. So one is stealing to get his own. The other one is working extremely hard. And the last one says, why go through all of that? Just sow a seed. On the surface, if you don't look at it very well, you think it's honorable. It's not honorable. You are asking God to agree with your mental state. Are you getting my point? You are asking God to agree with your viewpoint. He said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That is, I don't care. I can decide as God, your God, that you will be a tenant all your life and doesn't mean anything. Oh God, I pray you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's wrong to own a house. Did I say so? I said God can look and say, Paul, what are you doing with one landed property anywhere? You're supposed to be moving up and down. Christians must learn how to reason very well. I told you once I was talking with somebody. They said, give to God. He said, I gave God my best shoes. That is, they're taking offering in church. I said, in my mind, I said, but your church said the shoes were going to refugees. Have you ever seen refugees with Armani shoes? I don't know what I get what Armani say. You go and get a koi koi D&G. You give to a refugee who's sleeping in a tent. He's not going to any party now. But it's not, you must give God your best. Forget all of this, give God your best thing. Let's be reasonable. They said these shoes are for refugees. What do you want? Strong rubber soles. Thick, strong leather. So that if this only pair the fellow gets, it will last till peace comes back. You don't want, what do you call it, porpoise skin or crocodile skin or what do you call it? There's one, there's the ostrich skin, all those kind of things. That's not what the person wants. I'm not bringing that issue. Christianity is not about trying to impress God. It's about doing that which is right. You understand? And spiritually, it's reasonable. I'm going somewhere. So if it is necessary to build a mansion, you understand my point? Yes, it is necessary. So we'll build a mansion because for God, the amount of money it takes to build a mansion is the same amount of money it takes to build a hut. For him, it's the same amount. If you knelt and said, Lord, give me a hut, it's the same energy he will exert to bring forth a hut. If you had turned around and said, no, take the hut back. What I really want is a 72-bedroom house. Fine. The same amount of spiritual energy that will cost him. That's why Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs. There are things people are fighting over. God said, you see, you don't need it. It's not important. One of the things I keep on telling my wife sometimes, I say, hey, dude, I say, listen, it may be nice in your body. Some people like to travel around. I hate traveling around. That is bad. Just like I don't give you special numbers. Do I give special numbers? Yeah, this is bad. Every time you see me traveling, there's a very serious purpose. My wife is of that school of thought that if you have not seen a place, we'll go and look. My one is that, what do I want there? Is there anything? Am I preaching there? No. Am I eating there? No. What am I going to get there that I won't get where I am right now? But there's one joke, you know, something that happened when I was in Lagos. A friend of mine came to my house one day and said, you're always in the house. Come, let's go out. He dragged me out, tossed me in the car. And we drove to one of those Lagos beaches on the road to Badagry. After we entered the place, I looked around. They began to stroll around, walk into the water. I looked for a shed, brought out my Bible, sat down there, and continued reading. I went with the Bible. The waves did not interest me. So all he's dragging me out, you understand my point? I changed nothing. This guy doesn't like to go to places. Just mine. You follow my point? But Ravi Zachariah said he spends 2/3 of his life on airplanes. Because he's always, today he will preach in Lagos. The next place he's preaching is Addis Ababa. After Addis Ababa, they booked some series of preachings for him in Washington. After that, he's supposed to go down somewhere in Quebec. From there, he's going to South America. So the amount of times it takes to connect the different places, you understand? So people like him, listen to this. It is not bragging if he says, I can't fly economy class. It's not. Do you understand my point? It's not raking. It's not like, we are big boys, praise God. We don't fly economy. No. You'll be doing the man a great disservice because the only place he gets to sleep is on a plane. He has to lie down. So the minimum he'll fly is business class. It's twice the price of economy, but that's the minimum. If God supplies enough resources, he'll pay six times the price of economy to be in first class. Because that's where he sleeps. You see the way Christians reason? So it's not our praise God. We stopped flying economy long ago. Hey, amen. It's good. I'm not saying it's bad to fly business class. But listen, it's not a bragging point. It's a needful matter. The other day I saw it. I didn't read it in detail, but I saw a small bit of it. They said P-Square. Said they bought a private jet. And people say, what are they doing with it? You see, like I always say, I don't know where P-Square was yesterday or where they were. P-Square, two people. Where they were yesterday, I do not know. Where were they last week? I have no idea. Where were they 2-3 weeks ago? I don't know. So why should I decide what they need and what they don't need? They said I read a line that said they needed to connect between their frequent engagements. If that's what they mean, and if they are serious about it, it's a good reason to buy a private jet if you can afford it. If your 1 hour is equivalent to 10 million naira, please buy a private jet. Because every 1 hour you spend waiting at an airport is 10 million naira wasted. You are getting the point. That's Christianity. That's something they explain. We don't count our lives based on the things that we possess. But material things are used. We use them. They are to be what? Used. I'm in an issue here. But when people don't understand that they have the worldly mentality. Oh, I have 4 houses in Abuja, praise God. 2 in Lagos. What are you doing with them? Nothing. He's not into any form of business, but he thinks he's the value of his life. It's a sign that, yes, now I can see where my money is going. That's a very stupid thing. Christians don't think like that, too. You should be able to see where your money is going. Like, as it's accumulating land for you, house for you, stock for you. It's not Christian thinking. I'm not saying you should be wasteful. If where your money is going, you are sponsoring evangelism. You don't even have to remember. If where your money is going, you are helping those who cannot pay fees. You don't have to remember that. Hey, listen, okay, they all owe me. They know. They know now I'm their benefactor. Listen, it's not necessary. Just do what is right and leave it there. It is not Christian thinking to say, hey, all these days you've been working. We've been wondering what you are doing with your money. None of your business what I'm doing with my money. Someone say, no, you know, if you don't buy this kind of one of my friends said something. Very funny. So he told me that there's something we said about milk, baby milk, you know, breast milk for children, all of that. And I said, wait, are you telling me that you have a small baby in the house that's still breastfeeding? And he said, yes now. I said, oh boy, are you seeing this inside our business? He said, you see, if I don't have this number of children, they'll be wondering what I'm doing with my money. At least when I have many children, they will know I'm training children. That was what a friend of mine told me. I looked at him like, wait, are you together? You are having plenty of children so you can explain where your money is going. You don't have to have children so you can train them. If you can train other people's children, many people who have children, they don't have the ability to say, schools are expensive these days. If you hear what government schools are charging, you run. These days, if you don't have a million, you can't go to law school. Am I lying? When I heard their fees, you must buy a computer first. That's 100,000+. Law school and their school fees. Then you must work. You must buy a book. At the end of that 1 year, 1 million will not go. So if you don't know what to do with your money, go to law school and say, hello, who can buy a computer here? I have a few for sale at 95% discount. They will love you for life. The Lord is good. I'm trying to bring an issue here. Please listen. I'm talking about value system. I'm talking about what? I'm talking about what? This is how Christians reason. It's not a sign of success for a believer that now I finished my house. Now people will see where my money is going. If my money is going to the toilet, none of their business. It's true. I remember once my mother visited, I was in Lagos then. He said that, your auntie said you spent all your money buying tapes. This tape, you know, those things were costlier than now. Relative to what people earn. I told my mother, I said, you didn't notice she said, what? My money, not her money. She has not come to tell you that Banky spends all my money buying tapes. He spends all his money buying tapes. Because then, I had them plenty, you know. I used to store my tapes in cartons, you know. 10, 10, 10, 10, stack them, bought them every day. I used to buy tapes in cartons like that. I go to the market once, buy like 30. And I start making copies of different messages and all of that. Buy books. One day my mother saw my books and all of that. She was not talking to my sister. These things are costly. And my sister was sick that time. And my sister pointed out to her that none of those books was as expensive as a packet of Tarivid that she was taking. So my mother kept quiet. That's my younger sister. Pointed to my mother that this book that you're saying is costly. It's cheaper than the packet of this medicine. And I'm through with that packet in a week. Now, I'm trying to explain something. So don't forget this one that people, they now see where my money is going. I don't know why I'm just sitting on this matter. Sometimes the problem of Christians, people who don't need cars are buying them. Why? They have to explain where their money is going. People are buying land. Why? They don't have to explain where their money is going. They are building houses they don't have any plans for. Why? They must explain where their money is going. They are taking trips they can't afford. Why? They must explain where their money is going. It's a sign that you're not a big boy. How are you? Last weekend, you know, my friend was wedding in the U.S., so I had to go. The guy, he doesn't love that guy at all. You understand my point? He just has to be able to say it. It's foolishness. It's madness. Carry a phone that you don't know the functions just because everybody is carrying it. Some people don't know how to use the internet, but they want a phone that can browse. They have never Googled up anything in their lives, but everybody is carrying a smartphone. Like somebody said, smartphone, stupid people. I'm talking about what? Value system. Let's look at Moses. I've not forgotten what I'm talking about. He said, that's verse 24. When he grew up, he refused the place of luxury where he was. He said that, verse 25, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Talking about the value system that somebody has. That's what decides the kind of temptation he or she will fall for. Do you get my point? Listen, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Which means a Christian does not choose a job primarily because of the amount of money they pay. So a Christian does not value everything in life by, you know, financial value. From time I've said it to people and I keep on saying it. You don't travel to Europe or US or Australia or whatever it is because money is easier to make there. It is foolishness. Let me explain something quickly before I sit down on that. Verse 25 says, he chose rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I want to explain two phrases there. The people of God, or a number of phrases, not just two. The issue of ill treatment with the people of God and then passing pleasures of sin. First, let me talk about sin. Somebody says sin. You know one of the problems that causes confusion in the life of Christians? They wrongly define sin. What do I mean? What is sin? Adultery is sin. And it is sin. Stealing is sin. And it is sin. Lying is sin. And that is sin. But they hardly ever conceive in their minds that not being in the place that God wants you to be is sin. Let me explain. Now I said life carries you. Let me explain this again. David, there's a way we look at it. When David went after Bathsheba, he was taking his stroll, the Bible says, on the walls of his palace at the time that kings were supposed to be at war. You are following that point? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the council or sit in the seat of and then stand. Which one does he do first? Does he stand first? Walk, stand, and then sit. Yes. He starts strolling around there. Then he stands to see what's in the house. They give him a chair. The problem is not the sitting. It was where he was walking. The sitting is the consequence of walking recklessly and starting to observe things that don't concern you. You know, when I go to buy things sometimes, they say, oh, God, sit down. I said, listen, I didn't come here to play with you. I came to buy something. I never enter shops in Ogwete. It's there for our other shops. Sit down. Once they talk like that, I walk. I said, listen, I didn't come here to play with you. I came here to buy something. Do you have... Sit down first. Why should I sit down? Once you sit, you don't jones with that. They will scalp you before you go. I'm not sitting. Now, I'm bringing something here. So, you see, it's not the sitting there that in that particular context is the problem. That is a manifestation of the problem that began because of the way the fellow was walking. So, when everybody was supposed to go somewhere, David did not go. That exposed him totally to all kinds of temptations. You understand what I'm saying? Now, when did David sin? When he took Bathsheba, we think, no, that was the manifestation of his sin. I said one of the problems with Christianity is how we define sin. Sin is always those things that, you know, Catholics don't like, Muslims don't like, Anglicans don't like, you know what I'm saying? Religious people don't like. That's what we think sin is. But it's not always that glaring. Sin is being in the place where you are not supposed to be. You have not done anything, no. So when he talks about the passing pleasures of sin, it does not necessarily mean that Moses was chasing all the girls in the palace. I don't know whether you have heard what I'm saying. The fact that he woke up in the morning and somebody would be fanning him while the Jews were suffering under slavery was sin. Let me explain this to you again. You know, I wrote a book, so who will pay for this? A lot of people are driving cars that are supposed to have done evangelism. I don't know what I hear what I said. You hear what I said? A lot of people took money that God gave them to help somebody else. They used it to travel abroad. I hope you are following what I'm saying. Sin is not always when you steal somebody's thing. Sin is God gives you money. Say, listen, you will do this for me. Go and read my book again. How to Work for God. I divided about 5 different ways by which, or 6, you can give to God. Many people have, you know, they are walking in sin. Why? The only way they know how to give to God is the work of the ministry and the man of God. No other way. They've stolen from Peter and they're not used to pay Paul. Listen to me. It is sin also. That's a matter of fact. Sin is not just when I steal somebody's thing. I told you a story once. I was here. One young man came to see me. Came for counseling. He talked about all his troubles. When he finished, I shook my head. I said, wait, let me get something right. It appears to me like the money your father gave you to pay your fees in school, you used it for evangelism. He said, yes. I said, you're a criminal. The word I used was, you're a rogue. He was taken aback. You know, I'm a preacher. I should have said, man, the zeal that this boy has for God, may God lift him up. No. I said, do you work? No. What are you, a student? Who gave you the money? Your father. For who? The bosser of your university. You use it to rent equipment for village evangelism. You should go to jail. The boy was surprised. I said, what is the way out of your trouble now? He said, tell me, sir. I said, go home prostrate, because the boy was now suffering. God did not come through the way he thought he would. You know, we think that once it is for God, it's okay. The guy was in trouble. His father was going to behead him. So he came to me and said, you know what you are going to do? You will go home and prostrate before your father. I said, I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. I'm not bringing that issue. We would have thought it was righteousness what he did. I said, but it's not righteousness. It's not righteousness. It's not your money. It's your father's money. And he gave it to you. He labeled it. This is your tuition fees. Or tuition. Go and pay. You didn't pay. Your zeal. You went to hire equipment. Say, what should we have done with village evangelism? I'll tell you. Should I have gone to pay fees with the money given for fees? Then the one they gave you for food. Yes, because you see, that woman, the widow of Zarephath, what happened? Elijah came and said, give me to eat. He said, I have enough food for how many people? Two people. So he gave Elijah, she gave Elijah her portion, not her son's portion. That one is not the will of God. Her son's portion was kept intact. Her own portion she gave to Elijah. If you want to multiply that, go ahead. What I'm saying is a matter of fact. I said, you should have just given the son's portion to the son and your portion to Elijah. You should have gone on fasting. 3 days dry fasting. That will give you some change. That money you use for evangelism. Or better still, who told you villagers need loudspeakers? Did you ever read about loudspeakers in the Bible? If you really love the Lord, just stand there and shout, the sold us in it. He shall die. They will believe you. If they don't believe you, it's not a lack of speakers. It's because there's no anointing upon you. I'm talking about what? Sin. Because this wrong definition of sin is what keeps us in bondage. We'll be walking in sin and have this illusion of righteousness. Meanwhile, the very thing we are doing that we think is righteousness is this thing that God is calling sin. It is not that Moses was there in the palace shooting people at random like Saddam Hussein's sons. We are not sure he did that. There's no reason to believe he did that. It's not as if he was there snatching people's wives. Am I because of the passing pleasures of sin? No. Just to wake up in the morning and sit in judgment in a comfortable hall while the brethren were suffering as slaves was sin. I hope you are following what I'm saying. You know, I said earlier that ministry is geographical. Many pastors are walking in sin. God said, stay in, let's take, we're in Enugu now, so let's use Enugu as an example. Then after the guy pastors for a while, he said, man, the offering here is not good. Now, it sounds like a joke. If you're a minister, listen to this, because it's very common. Don't do it. It is wrong. Then he goes to open a branch in Lagos so that the Lagos people can be remitting their money to Enugu. Yeah, preachers do it. It's not necessary. They think it's wisdom. I have been counseled before that it is wisdom. It's not wisdom, it is foolishness. Some don't even do that. That's the nice ones. They will close the shop, you know what I mean, in Enugu, and disappear to Lagos. Why? Lagos is where people that have the financial resources are. Then they open the church in Lagos. Ministry is geographical. If God planted you in Enugu, you are walking in sin. Every day you shall praise the Lord in that church in Lagos. The fact that your friends in Abuja, their church members bought them brand new Rolls Royce. And in Enugu, they even collect money from you when you enter Keke Napep. It's not allowed as a reason why you should change from where you are supposed to preach and go somewhere else. There's one big minister in this country, I won't mention his name. They say he's a preacher, his brother is a preacher. He's in Lagos, his brother is in another of these one of these southwest towns and cities, one of them. The brother in Lagos is well known. If I mention the name, you know it. You know his name. But that the one in one of the other Ibadan, and the parents call him one, they say, listen, is it not this same job that you are doing, that your brother is doing? It appears like it is this place where you are that's the problem. Better move and go to Lagos also, from where the issue is flowing. Listen, if you take that step, you have started walking in sin. Let me say something to you. I said earlier, it's not the sitting that's the problem. It's what? The walking that progressed to the standing and then the sitting. Now, listen to this. The sitting is a manifestation of the wrong walk. A lot of preachers, you now hear that, have you heard this man drove his wife and married another woman and he's now living in adultery. The problem was not adultery. It's a manifestation of a ministry that God did not send him to. For those of you who are preachers, listen to what I'm saying. Your problems began the day you walked out of where you are supposed to be. Next thing, you are stealing money. Next thing, the one day they will catch you and digging. You are boxing inside church office. Why? There's the 200,000 naira that's not balanced. Goes out. Two people go to fight. Listen, the problem is not lack of self-control. The problem is that he was not supposed to be in that city doing that ministry. The problem is that nobody sent him to pastor in the first place. The problem is that he has walked out of where he was supposed to be. Sin is not just I stole somebody's money. Oftentimes, those are the manifestations of the real, you get my point? Real problems, which are not so overt. They're not so glaring as if they are sin. Many years ago, somebody told me a story. I was somewhere, you know, with ministers. We're talking. And the wife of one of the ministers was there. Was telling me, this man of God, I used to be like this. This other man of God started asking him. You know, like, let's assume now that, let me just put names to make it real. Let us assume now that, what can I get as an example? Anyway, let forget the names. But let's assume the young man is there doing a particular work. He's moving around, teaching, evangelism, do all kinds of things. And one man started telling him that, look, your ministry needs to explode. You need a base from which you will get. They kept him all kinds of counsel. Start a church, start a church, start a church, start a church. Now, starting a church is good, though. Did you hear what I said? Is it good or bad? My wife can testify to you, there are people who start churches and I'm happy. A friend of mine, I told him, oh boy, go and start a church. That's what you are supposed to be doing. That was my opinion. So I'm not saying it is wrong, but in this particular man's situation, I think it was wrong. But this is the point. That, of course, my opinion. As soon as he did, you know what happened? The ministry exploded. You know they call it explosion? That is, small boy in one small town before became an international renowned preacher. Now, you know, before he used to go alone, jump from one bus to another, or drive his own car, and then stop somebody driving at the airport, catch a small flight, then he carries his own bag, you know, normal guy. You understand my point? But now he has become an entourage man. You know what they call entourage? You never seen him before? Yes, you know, siren, some of them, flashing light. Is it bad? If you are the governor, it's perfect. It's all right, all right? So I'm not saying anything wrong with it. But he was not that kind. No, some people are that important. I can't imagine Billy Graham coming to Nigeria and he goes to Faith Motors and says, please, I'm going to be in a shift. Let's not deceive ourselves. It doesn't make sense. If I see that kind of thing, I will quickly drop my wife and children in an taxi, put him in my car, and drive him to wherever he's going. It's the will of God, amen? So it's a sign of, it can be a sign of being important, all right? The reason why president have the entourage and all of that is because they need it. It's not show. You get my point? The security men, all those kind of people, they are important in his entourage. This man became an important man too. Became a papa. Somebody say papa. Became a papa. Ministry exploded, they said. That's what I was told. Many years down the line, I began to hear bad things. You know what they call bad things? All kinds of bad things, which I shall not repeat because I'm preaching and my microphone is holy. Amen? I began to hear bad things. This happened. No, all kinds, you know, things that are not becoming of the newest convert. You are now hearing from the biggest man of God. You understand what I'm saying? All right? Let me just leave it like that. Now, I'm going somewhere. When I heard those things and the consequences, you know, all I remembered was that about 10 years before, somebody had told me that, after they pressured him, he left the ministry that he was doing and began something that caused an instant what? Explosion. But listen to me, this is my own judgment too. That weakened him. He began to walk. I'm talking about sin. He didn't steal anybody's money. He didn't do any of those things. But he was now walking until he began to stand. And then finally they gave him a seat. And once he sat down, that was trouble. his problem began when he listened to the big prophet. You know, there are two prophets. There's a small prophet and the senior prophet who has stopped hearing God but knew all the political maneuvering in town. I'm talking about what? Sin. Rapid growth. You know what one of my friends said? He said, people talk about church growth. He said, don't forget, cancer is a growth. You hear what I said? That growth is not always good. The other day, I was in a conference for 2 days where all the specialists around were gathered on how to treat a particular form of cancer. It's growth. Why didn't you just say, oh, come on, guys, it's growth. Let it grow. It's not every growth in your life that's good, though. If I say this, it will surprise you. There are people who leave one job for another, and their salary triples overnight, and that's a cancerous salary. It's growth. But that is what is going to kill that guy. Let me just add this one quickly. Let me just say it simply. Don't let them use money entice you to do everything. Like I say, it's not every business that's your business. Not every business concerns you. Every time you talk about teaching as an example, people think it's something you do if you have nothing else to do. One a friend of mine told me that, now he's a lawyer, so he was trying to get a job in a university somewhere. And after a while, they were doing it, and I said, let him just forget it and maintain his practice. And he was doing well in his practice. I said, oh boy, you're about to pass over a great opportunity. That is for me to be a teacher. Oh boy, don't let it pass. You are going to have an opportunity. Few people. Now, I'm not going to issue here. I'm not saying he must do it. I'm just saying there's a perspective, all right, with which you can look at it. I said, this is an opportunity to preach the word of God to people. Not by shouting, praise the Lord, open your Bibles, the book of Isaiah chapter 58. No. Just start explaining family, you know, life values to them. I'm a university teacher. And I know I do that a lot. But my students enjoy it. I teach them how to make career choices, life choices, marriage choices. In fact, a particular one of my class, everybody started buying the book. Because by the time I finished teaching them everything inside the book, I think it now dropped from my mouth that I wrote it in a book. Okay, where is the book? See, the idea of are they Christians or not, besides the point, that is an exposure to the word of God. I'm not joking about this. Many people have given their lives to Christ because they heard me teach pathology. I'm not kidding about it. I say simple things like, maybe I come to class. I remember one day, I was just remarking that I was hungry in class and after being done in lecture. Okay, you didn't eat this morning, sir. I said, no, my wife traveled. The boy said, that's good. Now we can get you an auxiliary. My wife traveled. So the boy said, the way the boy is joking, class. Okay, auxiliary now, you know. Now, I could laugh and pass the advice. I didn't laugh. I just said, no, it's not good. No, it's not good. Let me tell you why it's not good. I begin to teach. I talk about the strength of a man's soul. How you waste your energy on adulterous women. If it's gone like a joke, I start telling all kinds of stories. People will laugh, but a lot have heard it. They've heard the truth. I teach what the problem with Nigeria is. Once I got to class, my class captain misbehaved. I got to class, power was not on. Why is the power not on in class? The generator is up in the department. He said, they couldn't find the temp. I was angry. But I said, I called him, called about three other boys who like technical things. Come, let's go. Trace this wire. I showed him how to do it. At the end of the day, it cost us 15 minutes, but they fixed the problem. And I gave another 15-minute lecture in class that day on how to handle life's challenges. I said, you see, you saw it. It's not of your being. You just left it. I said, but you put in a little bit of effort. Did you not solve it? I said, many times in life, you will meet challenges. Put in a little effort. You'll be amazed at the result you will get. Do you get the point I'm making? Some people have that opportunity, then they give them a job that pays 5 times more. You are getting my point? Aha! You know what he's thinking about? Now I can buy a car. You see what I'm saying? Now my life consists in the abundance. My life consists in the abundance of tires which I possess. Now, that's why I studied all the things I was saying. All right, all the things I'm saying now with the things I said at the beginning. by explaining values. Value. You can't just trade things that matter for things that are temporal. You know what I say all the time? You know what? Why they call things temptations? Why are they called temptations? Because they are tempting. So the fact that you have a story to tell me about the, in quotes, blessing that came with it is no proof that you are doing that which is right. Now, I started by explaining the issue of value system, how life carries you. Which one do I do? You know, a lot of those questions are difficult to answer at that point because the value system, you know, I tell you that my wife is a very nice woman, so she tries to change the world. Sometimes I tell her, listen, the person you are counseling, wait. Who told you he or she believes the things you believe? I don't know whether you get my point. Sometimes there are people who ask me for advice. I just don't even know. That's why I don't counsel strangers. I don't. It's my rule. If I don't know you, don't ask me for advice. Say, Pastor Banky, please, I want to talk to you. About what? I'm having challenges. Who doesn't have challenges? My friend Claire. Who does not have challenges? Now, you know my reason? Somebody will start speaking. By the time they finish speaking, I realize that he needs to listen to spiritual economics. 13 messages. Am I supposed to preach 13 messages to one person? When the young man sat me down and said, oh, God, we need to talk. Me, you talk. If I beat you now, they say I'm wicked. I said, what are we talking about? My friend, no, I'm serious. When you're far younger than me, I can be quite brash. What are we talking about? Don't get away from there. Because I'm a pastor, I think you can just talk to me anyhow. I'm not talking to you. Sorry, sir. I said, go upstairs. It was downstairs here. Go upstairs. Go and buy books, CDs, and all of that. Listen to them first. Then we'll start talking. He took my advice. He came, bought books and CDs, and settled down and listened. Then we could talk. You know, now we are speaking the same language. Not that you're on base 10, I'm on base 8. You follow my point? How are we supposed to communicate? That's why I don't like talking to strangers. People who are here with me, those days, a young man came all the way from Musuka and said, I wanted to talk to me. I said, for what? I said, look, go and talk to Mr. Meka. He begged me, I refused. So while he was there, I got up and walked away. What am I talking? I said, talk to Mr. Meka first. If he tells you that you talk to me, I will listen to you. People can say, I want to talk to you. I said, go and talk to Yinka. Say, Yinka knows everything I know. Whatever he tells you is what I said. That when they now say, look, I should talk to you, I will. You know my reason? Not because I'm feeling too quiet with myself. It is because a lot of times people come, they expect me to preach, you know, messages that we sat here for 2 years, Tuesdays and Saturdays. They haven't heard any part of it. The only way I can help them, that's where I'm going, is that I have to retrain their minds. The decision they are trying to make, of course, I can't tell you, do this or don't do that. I will not be responsible for your decisions. But we can't communicate because we are not even reasoning about life in the same frequency. A young man sent me a mail once, believing that I would be of help, that, sir, a great door has opened. A great door. He needed, this was many years ago, he needed 10,000 naira to tap into that door. What is the door? He can now go to Canada. A third year engineering student abandoning his studies in Nigeria to go to Canada. He did not know he was writing to. I don't know whether I get my point. He thought I was a typical Nigerian who believes that, oh, Father in heaven, you are going to North America. Great open door. What do you mean? Open door to what? Premature death or destiny? I don't understand. I remember when when he went MNET Face of Africa, they said it's an opportunity. I said, all of you are stupid. 17-year-olds, you are taking her to New York to be walking half naked in front of demon-possessed men. You tell me it's an opportunity. You are mad. What is the opportunity in it? MNET now wants to lie to us that when they gave her the opportunity, she was selling bread. It's a lie. The girl was not selling bread. She was a student who sold bread in the evening for her parents. In case you did not know, Fole Adeola, founder of GTB, used to sell orange. Fole Adeola used to hawk orange. Jimo Ibrahim, maybe now Okpada one too they sell. Who didn't sell what? He said, look at it. Mnet is giving them opportunity. The last time I saw, Oluchi, sorry. Not Agbani, sorry. Oluchi, sorry. That's Agbani earlier. Okay, it's Oluchi I wanted to say. It's Oluchi. Last time I saw her, she was a mass of bone with tissue wrapped on it. They called it model. Was wearing pata with her legs open like this. I don't know what he was. I said, look at this. Sorry, it's Agbani Darego. Sorry, that I said, but it's Oluchi I wanted to say when I was saying earlier. Eminent Face of Africa. Oh, then they said that it's an opportunity. Now, I'm talking about perspective. I said, what opportunity? Did they say they are sending her to school? They withdrew that girl from school. I hope you realize that. They said they gave her $150,000. A fat lie. They gave her a $50,000 a year contract for 3 years to work naked. She was going to work for every dollar they were going to give her. At that age, that's the age they catch all of them abroad. What nonsense. Cheap labor. They grabbed that girl $50,000, cheap labor. And you see girls be paying money, they want to go Mnet Face of Africa. You don't have value now. You're confused. You think once you cross these shores, a dollar a day for a road. All the men in New York will sleep with you before they give you anything. Rant nonsense. I remember I told them, I said, she's my sister, she ain't going anywhere. She's not going anywhere. Our family's life does not consist in the abundance of dollars you are going to give. That my little sister is going to work hard for like a slave. What nonsense. Mnet Face of Africa is a satanic principle. I make bold to say it. Those guys are tapping. They are, oh God, it's iniquity. I'm not talking about Miss Ward. No, really. I have no problem with that. I look at the structures about it. We're fine. You want to go and beauty contest, just come back home when you finish. But Mnet choose the best qualified girls all over Africa and milk them dry. After 5 years, you don't hear their names again. Some of them have been dumped in places. What am I talking about? There's no opportunity there. Then I said to people, listen, if Oluchi was my sister, she ain't going nowhere. She's going to go back to school. She's going to graduate. God is going to help us. She will finish her school. She will become anything. She can become a teacher, a lawyer, an engineer, a politician, a housewife, whatever she desires. She will be. But you're not going to turn her to a model in New York for me. I'm sorry. I don't consider that an opportunity. When that young man wrote me then, he said, opportunity, I looked at him, and at the mail. I shook my head. I said, this boy does not know who he's writing to. That I will bring out my 10,000 naira and help you walk out of destiny. Am I stupid? Why should a student who is a third or fourth year engineering student in school expect that traveling to Canada without a degree is breakthrough? Why don't you finish that school? Get that B engine, all right? Try and get yourself a very good grade. Do an MSc. Get a good job. Design something, then travel anywhere you want. I knew that if I walked over to Canada, they would have become a non-entity. People who have done it, they've realized it now. The best way to go abroad, talking a natural plane now, is to go with a certificate. On a natural plane. People will see, they will recognize your learning. Not you. The Lord is good. What am I talking about? So that's the problem I often have with people. They want counsel. The truth is that they don't know anything. We're not thinking of the same frequency. And a lot of the questions they are asking is because of the wrong value system. That's why, this is a matter of fact, many times people have come to me, ask questions, I say, have you read that book? Have you read this one? No. Go and read them, come back, we'll talk after. 9 times out of 10, they will come back and say, I don't need to talk to you again. I mean that literally. The person finished talking. I said, have you read this particular book? The fellow said no. I said, go and read it. Ask them to give you this particular CD. Buy that CD, go and listen to it. When you finish, come back. And they always come back and say, thank you, sir. No, we don't need to talk. I have my answers. I remember my friend, I was telling him about Pastor Courage when he was in school. Because he was born in UK, his sister was living there. And I said, look, listen, the way Nigeria is, let's arrange. He was supposed to leave school. He was studying economics. To leave school and then go to London and go and start living there. And he didn't think there was a problem with it. So they were working on it, all right? They were working on it and all of that. Then when they told a friend of his, and as soon as he finished saying it, the friend said, that's very good, though. Just make sure it's the will of God. These were his words. He said, as soon as he said it, I knew it was not. June 1st made it 15 years that he started the church in Sokoto. It's easy to decide what is right and what is wrong if you just learn God's value system. A better paying job is not necessarily the will of God. Once you just know that, if you're a minister, it is not true that the reason why your church is not growing is because you are not in the city where there are many people. Were you not sent to a particular set of people? Were you sent for church growth? Ministers are not sent for church growth. Are you getting my point? They are sent to do what? Preach the gospel. Maybe I should add that one to it. A preacher's life does not consist in the abundance of people that he gathers on Sundays. I hope you understand what I'm trying to explain. That's why people have used all kinds of things to gather people to church. Bishop Wedipo used to say those days, some people come and say, it's because the music is good. So they go and buy big instruments, they'll hire singers who are musicians, two-faced, to come to church and give special number. Praise God. Amen. It's not easy. They turn to your neighbor and say, one love. All we need is one love. Go call around. Everybody one love. Why? You want to grow church? Say, praise God. Were you blessed today? Next Sunday, we're going to have Michael Jackson right here. If your boy is dead, forget. Because you think God sent you to go and gather a crowd. No, he sent you to go and preach the gospel. And as you preach the gospel, those that need to hear it will gather around you. Are you getting my point? Bishop said, if you gather a crowd with music, better music will soon come to town. I'm telling you, after Two-Face finishes ministering for you, Usher will land town. That's it. All of them have gone to National Stadium to go and watch somebody else. We are talking about Moses' value system. It was easy for Moses to walk out of the palace because of the value system he had. The Bible says, go back there. It said he considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. It's a value system. It's a value system. The reproach of Christ for him was better than the treasures of Egypt. I tell you all the time this testimony. You know, you see, it's not every testimony that is about how I got money. I gave my friend who was around this morning, some of you saw him. Yesterday when he got home, I gave him a testimony. And I said, well, let me give you a testimony. When I finished, it dawned on him that my testimony was not how I got. It was how I give. Are you getting my point? It's not how I got, but how I what? I gave. That was a testimony. I just said, see what God did. This is what God did. At the end of the day, this now happened. And that was the end of the testimony. I was able to give something apparently in line with the commandment of the Holy Spirit. So what I was just explaining to him was how I discovered it was the Holy Spirit. I'm saying something. The mistake we make a lot of times, we think every testimony must end with, praise God. Do you know, after I left that company, and then they were paying me 1 million. Then the next place I went, I didn't know it was that much. The next is now 6 million. And the whole place we erupt. Woo, 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 woo. And that's it. You're confusing young people. Think everything must end with greater material, blessing. that my friend Pastor Corey that was telling you about. He did something many years ago, went for our convention. You've heard me, some of you may have heard me tell the story. When they say, okay, you know, we need to introduce ourselves, you know, the young people there. But we're not so many who are the senior people now, we don't bother anymore, all right? But then, your older people will come, say, my name is so and so, my name is Banky, this is what I do. So he said something when it was his turn to introduce himself. He said, I've noticed something here. That anytime somebody comes and says, oh, I'm Brother ABC, I work in Shell, that the ovation from the students is quite loud. Somebody comes and says, oh, I'm Brother XYZ, I work with MTN. He said, the ovation is quite, and we have quite a number of people there, brethren that work in Glow, you know, MTN, banks, and all of that. He said, I've noticed that if somebody comes and says, I work in Guarantee Trust, people will clap. He said, please, clap for me first before I tell you what I do. So everybody clapped. Then I said, yes, my name is Corey Jode. I am the founding pastor of Love Revival Ministries in Sokoto. So that in case you were not planning to clap, I've collected my clap first. I never forgot that thing because it shows a vanity in the hearts of many young believers. Yes, I was there. They actually used to clap when somebody says, praise God. I'm a manager in one bank. I work with MTN. I work with Glow. I work in Shell. I work in LNG. I work, you know, mention all those fat names. Money speaking. Young boys and girls will clap. But literally, they wouldn't clap that much. If the man said, I am the pastor of a church that we started about 4 years ago in Enugu, and we are reaching this particular class of people. Oh, praise God. You're working for God. Amen. You know, that's all. And you go. My message to us today, this is a lesson from Moses, is that we must have a different value system. Your success in life is not reflected by how much you earn. A lot of people, the financial abundance is a sign of failure. Yes. Like I say all the time, if Jesus had bowed to Satan, he would have been richer than Bill Gates, materially speaking. That was the deal. That was the deal. That was the deal. Look at all the stock of Facebook and MTN and DSTV and Microsoft and Apple. I will give them to you. That was what Satan told him. All the kingdoms, said they've been delivered to me. If you will now bow down and worship me. And many people have worshipped. And listen, you know, another mistake we make talking about sin. We think idol worship is when we go and buy stone, carve it, paint it, put eyes, put ears, and put a staff in its hand. Then pour libation and bow. That's not idol worship. Very few people do that these days. These things, they always morph. That is, they change. Slavery changes its appearance. There was a time slavery was chains. You understand my point? A whip on your back. But now that's not slavery anymore. Go to the United States. You see what they call slavery. My friend talking to me, he's a physician in Texas. When the time he was in New York, he said there was a time he had a patient. This patient's heart was about to fail. He had an acute heart problem. They brought him to the hospital. So after they finished checking him, they stabilized him. They said, you need to have heart surgery. We need to correct some things in the blood vessels running around your heart. That meant he had to be in the hospital for a while. And said, the man says, sorry, I have to walk. He said, he talked to the man and said, sir, you don't seem to understand. If you get up here and leave, you could drop dead. The man got up, left, and said, I have to walk. It was a taxi driver in New York. Why? Look, my friend was telling me, he said, listen, that this system is arranged in such a manner that you have to work. Like Robert Kiyosaki said, an average American is 2 paychecks away from bankruptcy. So see, slavery has morphed. It has changed. It's not chains and whip anymore now. It's no problem. Don't have this $20 by next week. We'll collect your car, kick you out of the house, take all the things you have bought. So people are in slavery. They work morning till night. They don't need a physical master now whipping their backs. They are just, there's a spirit. The spirit did not disappear. It just changed its manifestation. In the same manner, idolatry is like that. They don't go to shrines anymore and bow. But in their hearts, by their actions, they worship Satan every day. You watch it. What do they do with their money? They are competing with those who don't even know they are there. He has bought a Galaxy S3. So the man has to buy an iPhone 4S Plus 1, whatever. Because it's competing with somebody. It's idolatry. Christmas is coming, he has to go to the village. So every bit of money he has must go to buying a car that's tall, even though he doesn't need it. A small car would do well for him. But he has to show that his stay in Enugu has been successful. What is idolatry? Once you operate against the word of God, it's idolatry. If Jesus said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses, if you say it does, you are an idolater. You are getting the point I'm making. The Bible says it's the passing pleasures of sin. He esteemed the reproach of Christ. Let me try and finish my message. Maybe I'll continue from here. Let me just say something. We'll continue developing it. Obeying God can bring you reproach. What did I say? It can bring reproach. You are not obeying God until people start laughing at you. Honestly. Oswald Chambers said that the cost of discipleship is not actually what it costs you. He says, it's what it costs the people that you love. Are you getting my point? That is, it is the effect it starts having on people around you. Talking about how to value your life. You know, I've mentioned this. Okay, the other time I was telling you about testimonies. Okay, that's why I was talking about testimony. That this is my testimony I've shared with you several times. One day I was at home. My mother said, your mates are building houses. This was many years ago. Well, not many now, maybe like 5 years now. And I said to her in simple words, how many of them are teaching the way of success? Yes, I had friends, childhood friends, age mates, classmates, many of them living in their own homes. I'm not talking about, you know, some people just go and get 250 square meters, Bishop. And then they put two rooms, you know, like some of those rooms down here. Do you look from? Yeah, go out, just look down. You see what I'm talking about? Just carve two of those rooms, put it there, and they say it's my house. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about homes that if in today's Nigeria you sold, you collect 50 million naira, 60 million naira. Good houses. They were my age mate, classmate, childhood friends, some of them. Of course, my mother, typical mother, your mates are building houses. And I answered in simple terms, how many of them are teaching the way of success? That's what I wanted to say earlier when I was talking about testimony. That testimony is not always how you got something. That is my testimony. In simple terms, I said some people were sent to be building houses. Some were sent to teach the way of success. That's the name of our radio broadcast that time. I work in an academic environment. Paul said, I magnify my office. I have friends that have 45 publications. I tell them I have 16 books, religious books I have written. Here on Purpose, The Blessing, The Law of Life, So We Pay for This, The Believer, Choices Key to Destiny, How to Work for God, Great Faith Can Be Yours, By Faith Acquire Life. So, what do you call it? Should I say yes? I'll count it for you. Hey, don't forget, 17 tracts, The Visitation of God, The Lord is My Shepherd. Another one, I shall not want. The Redemption That Is in Christ, Cheerful Giver, This Is Faith, Dare to Believe, Daniel. Yes. I said, those are also my publications. I'm a professor of Christianity. That's why I preach, learn how to value your life correctly. Because obeying God can bring you reproach. Let me just get back to that. Say it and then we'll finish. It can bring reproach to your life. It's worse when it's your father or your mother. What is wrong with this boy? You know, I have a testimony again. Since I was young, much younger, I was in university, my mother knew I was different.
my siblings knew I was different. I still remember my elder brother then was making a joke in the house. This was 1989. He was saying, if Deji comes to stay with me, that the boy will suffer. Many of you knew Deji, the smallest in the house. I said, why? He said, you will leave him at home and go for a crusade. So when the boy is sick, nobody will take care of him. He said, if he comes to stay with me, I'll take very good care of him. I'll give him money, I'll take good care of him. My brother wanted to be rich, wanted to be successful in life. He said, oh, you have an elder brother? No. He died in 1992, all right, and a rotary accident. But he was alive and well then. So we're just in our home. So he said, but you, if the boy is sick, you just come. You look. Say, in Jesus' name. And you run away. And the whole house scattered. They were laughing at me. That was 1988, 1989, thereabout. Everybody was laughing. So for a long time, they always knew I was square. I remember once my mother and I were speaking. You know, you can understand she's a woman. You know, she's a mother. Maybe a cousin of mine just sent down two cars who came from me. He had emigrated to Germany those days. Then you hear that this person is now there. I just helped the father finish their house. You know, stuff like that. This going abroad must really be lucrative. So, my mother, I remember that they were standing in front of the house, they were just talking. So just say, but I'm a doctor, you understand my point? And doctors were the ones that used to travel relatively easily and make it, you know, abroad. Banky, you know, like, have you considered this abroad they are talking about? I said, Archbishop Benson Idahosa said, a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. My mother said, I know that's what you will say. I said, yes, that's what I'm going to say. Thank you. That's what I'm going to say. That's what I'm going to say. Now I've said it, leave me alone. No, I still remember very well. She had not finished saying it. I said, Archbishop Benson Idahosa said, a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. Say, Pastor Bank, how could you make those decisions? Listen, it's value system. It's value system. I was going to preach, and you are not going to use the promise of easy success to distract me from it. You read my book, should I say yes? One of the key things I looked for in a wife is the woman must believe I can preach. So every woman I spoke to who argued with me with the scriptures, I left you alone. I don't mean you are wrong. I just mean you are not my wife. Now marry a bigger pastor. Because I knew I was going to preach. And I wasn't planning to marry a wife that thinks I'm wasting my time. Like I wrote in that book, should I say yes? Did I get what I wanted? Yes. One day, one of my students stopped me on the road. She's a resident at UNTH now. He said, excuse me, sir. I heard your name on radio today. What happened? Oh, your wife sent you this request. Play a song for my husband, that kind of thing. He said, oh, my hero, my this. The girl looked me like, oh, God. Oh, my God. Your wife, she loves you, worship you. And then one day she bought me a book. Said to my mentor, teacher, and husband. I said, good. So we can now go and do Kingdom World Ministries. Like Pastor Kpoju said, if your mother thinks you are not called, you are not called. If your wife thinks you are not called, oh boy, you are not called. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. So I was, I have to be sure. I have to be sure. I'm going to marry a woman that proves to you that you are not called. You wake up in the morning and say, fake pastor, he's going again. Your ministry is dead before you began. What have I said today? Moses had a different value system. And that was what guided his decisions. You understand that? That was what guided his decisions. And once you have a value system, it carries you in life. It helps you resist temptations, or it exposes you to temptations. Moses said, no. Sin is not just that, I did something that's morally wrong. If I'm not in the place where God expects me to be, my whole life is a sin. The lesson from Moses, we must learn
God's value system. It's more important that we are walking in His will and doing that He called us to do than to be materially successful, especially in the eyes of people. I hope you've understood my point today.